We're going to continue on this subject of faith that we've been entitling a series of messages on the voice of faith. And this past Sunday, we were sharing some thoughts along the line of your expectations and being bold to speak what you believe. And we've actually been sharing a few messages on this, on maintaining your expectation, because without an expectation, you can't have a manifestation. You can have faith, and you can, faith can come by, as the scripture says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or hearing by the rhema of God. So faith can come, but unless it's spoken, and your faith is what you expect, and if faith can be there and it comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, if it's not released in your words, then there is no manifestation. Faith gives substance to those things that are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. So faith gives substance to things expected. So there has to be an expectation for faith to do what? Give substance to. So we've been sharing along those lines, and I believe the more you feed upon something, the entrance, Psalm 119:130, the entrance of his word giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple. So the more we share the word of God, the more we feed upon it, the more we meditate upon it, as Joshua 1:8 says, we make our way prosperous. We become prosperous in every area of our life. And so, I was thinking about this as I was coming to the stream here this evening, and there was a lady that lived back in the 30s by the name of Lillian B. Yeomans. And at that time, the scourge at that time, because they didn't have the types of medicines and vaccines that we have today, the thing that was really affecting the country at that time was tuberculosis. And she was a doctor that had come into the truth of the Word of God in this area of healing. And she made her home into what she called a healing home or healing center. And at that time, people who were on their deathbed that would come into her home, and she would just read the scriptures concerning healing. And of course, if you get any of her books and you can get them, they're available online and you can order them. But she would read the scripture for an hour or two or three and just go over and read the scriptures to them. And I'm thinking of this one story of a woman that came in, and she was on her deathbed, and she sat by her bed and read the scriptures, Galatians 3:13, 1 Peter 2:24, just read them, Deuteronomy 28, and began to read these scriptures and would spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And then she, and this one particular person, she said to her, now I want you to, as long as you're awake, in all your waking moments, I want you to make this confession of faith. And, the woman said to her, well, I don't know. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Well, she said, okay, I understand. She said, just make this confession. And so she did that. And so the next day she came, she said, have you been making that confession? Yes. I still don't understand it, but I've been saying it thousands of times. Okay, great. And she sat with her and read the scripture to her for another couple of hours. Just kept reading the scripture to her. And so the next day she saw her and she was still bedridden. And she said, you know, have you been confessing the scripture? Yes, I've been saying it thousands of times, but I don't understand it. You know, in other words, what she was saying is she wasn't really seeing the revelation of that. The truth of that had not really dawned on her heart. Faith hadn't come. And so she said, okay, fine. And so she went downstairs. This lady was upstairs. She went downstairs, and Lillian B. Obmans was with her sister in the kitchen. They were cleaning up, and she said all of a sudden she heard some screaming just at the top of their lungs, yelling and screaming, and they thought, okay, what's going on? And this lady came running down the stairs, who had been bedridden, and was yelling at the top of her lungs to Lillian B. Omens and her sister, saying, do you know that I'm healed of tuberculosis? And she said, yeah, that's what we've been trying to tell you for the last 3 days. Well, what had happened? She kept speaking God's word that she didn't understand, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. And so finally faith came, and she began to see that she was healed of this tuberculosis, this death, you know, sentence that she had, and she was healed. And she began to do what? Say it and speak it. And she had been, you know, in other words, when I say speak it, she had been speaking it for the last 3 days, but the revelation of that hadn't dawned on her. And so this is really what we were talking about over the last few lessons on expectation. And we were talking about boldly saying what we believe. And in Mark 11:22, is a wonderful scripture from that talks about faith. In Mark 11:22 and 23 and 24. But starting with Mark 11:22, it says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. So this is where we need to start, was having faith in God. And he goes on, but we know from the scriptures in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that what? Cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must have faith in God. And that's where our faith is, and our trust is in him. And looking at 2 Corinthians 4:13, and this is really where we've been starting our lessons here. 2 Corinthians 4:13 in the King James Version, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So it's not enough to just believe. You must speak what you believe. And that principle is, we see it in life. People speak what they believe. So if they hear something long enough, and we've shared this in past lessons, that those who market something, what do? They keep putting it in front of your face. They keep making sure you know, they put it in all kinds of platforms, print platform, you know, visual platform, audio platforms, and they make sure you keep hearing it. And if you begin to embrace it, at some point, you might say, not saying everybody does, but you know, the statistics are there that if you keep hearing something long enough, you begin to embrace that, and you begin to say, well, you know what, I believe that. I think I need to do that, or buy that, or have that. And that they know that. So It's the same thing here, the same principles in the Word of God, which is what? Truth. And that's what we need to embrace, is the truth of God's Word, that we accept His will, His covenant, His Word, His promises, and do what? Believe that and say it. And so we just share that. And let's look at the Living Bible in 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, we boldly say what we believe. This is the Living Bible translation. It says, we boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us, just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believe, and therefore I speak. And then I'm going to just look at the Message translation of this also. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, and so I said it. We say what we believe. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, a prophecy that was given to Pastor Sarah many years ago in 2003. And Brother Copeland spoke this to her at a convention in Philadelphia. And he said, I'm increasing the anointing upon your words. Be careful what you say. Be careful, even in your jesting and lighthearted moments. So we need to be careful the things that we say, because if we keep saying it, we'll believe it. And even if it is a lie, you end up believing a lie because you keep planting that in your heart with the words that you say. So your faith, as we were sharing, is your expectations being spoken. And your expectations spoken are what you believe. If you believe something and you keep hearing it long enough, you believe it and you begin to expect that. So this is why we say a lot of times we need to feed upon the answer, which is in God's Word, not the problem. And a lot of times people keep looking at the problem long enough, and they see it, and they see it, and they hear it, and they see the problems in life, and they keep looking at it and feeding upon that, the problem, and then they begin to say it, well, this thing will never change. That person is like that. These people are like that. I don't like this. You know, my boss is this way, or my husband's this way, or my wife is this way, or my children are this way. And you keep looking at the problem, and you keep doing what? Feeding upon it, and you begin to, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You begin to talk it. You begin to speak it. People, you hear some, not saying people in the church world, but you hear parents say this, well, my children are like this. You know, they're just always in problem. They'll never turn out right. And you begin to release words, you put yourself in a position to begin to expect that from, you know, what you're saying. And so we need to, as we were sharing, we need to speak what we expect, not the problem. We mean that we need to look at what God's promises are, because they are forever settled in heaven. And as we were, just before we came on the air, Isaiah 55:11, and just highlighting this, that God's word stands. It's forever settled. And Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, I'm going to read a few other versions that they won't put up on the screen. But this is the Living Bible of this. It says, "So also is my word. I sent it out, and it always produces fruit." And then also, this is the Knox translation. It says, "So it is with the word by these lips of mine once uttered. It will not come back an empty echo the way it went. All my will it carries out, speeds on in errand." So in other words, and then this is another translation, the Young translation. It says, "So is my word that goeth out of my mouth. It turneth not back unto me empty, but hath done that which I desired, and prosperously effected that for which I sent it." In other words, God is saying his word that he's spoken, he watches over it to bring it to pass. So what are we doing? We should be looking at God's word, believing it just because he said it. He said in his word, he changes not. His word is forever settled in heaven. He's without, James says, he's the father of spirits without variableness nor shadow of turning. So his word stands. And so we need to just do what? Have faith in God, or have faith in his word, and begin to do what? Profess it. Now, maybe we don't understand it fully, but the understanding, the revelation will come as we begin to what? Keep speaking the word. We keep speaking it. Proverbs 18:21, it talks about the tongue, and it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And this is the Moffat translation of Proverbs 18:21. It says, "Death and life are determined by the tongue. The talkative must take the consequences." So we're going to have the, we're basically, as we've shared in past lessons, we are made in the image and likeness of God. So we are not creating worlds, but the words that we speak create. And God has given us dominion and authority here in this earth. He's made us in his image and likeness. We're a spirit. And so the words that we speak, and if we keep speaking them, death and life is going to come, one or the other is going to come, good or bad is going to come based on the words that we speak. And so we want to be speaking words that we expect God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives. So as we've shared, let's go back and take a look at Hebrews 11:1 and look at these scriptures again. You know, in the past lessons, we've been sharing about the heart, and we used as an example an air conditioning system, or a heating and air conditioning system, which in and of itself is designed to produce something. It's designed to produce a substance. Well, what is that substance? The substance that's produced from a heating or air conditioning system is heat or cold. But it doesn't decide to do that unless there's some impulse that's sent to it. How is that done? Through a thermostat. And the thermostat is the goal setter. It sets the desired temperature or a goal to reach. And of course, we use the same example in the soil. The soil is like our heart. It's the soil. The soil does not decide to produce what it wants to produce. It will only produce based on what you put into the soil. And it doesn't decide what kind of fruit. This is why when you look at Proverbs 18:21, it says death and life are what? Are the byproduct of what is coming out of your tongue. So death and life are produced from what we speak. And so is the soil. The soil doesn't decide to produce tomatoes or cucumbers or whatever you put in the soil or flowers. You decide what kind of harvest or product you want. Same with the tongue. You choose whether you want death or life. You choose the kind of fruit thereof you want to partake of. And it's the same with the soil. The soil doesn't decide. You decide based on the seed what kind of harvest you want. So it's the same in life. And this is why it's so important to feed upon the Word of God and not your circumstances. We're not ignoring circumstances. They exist. You know, the script Paul said, I'm buffeted on every side, you know, and so we're not ignoring, but he said, you know, you're buffeted, you're put down, but your faith will see you through. And so we need to determine that God's word is forever settled in heaven, and the circumstances that I have in life or that I'm faced with can be overcome. I can do all things, how? Through Christ who strengtheneth me. So let's go back to Hebrews 11:1. And of course, we're familiar with this in the King James. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we see something, it says here, faith has substance, and it does what? It gives substance to something hoped for. That word is expected or expectation. And our faith is the evidence of something not seen. So what is that telling us? That I should have faith in something that I desire, something that I'm expected, which is what? Not seen. And so my faith should not be in my circumstances. My faith should not be in what I'm experiencing, but my faith should be in God, and my faith should be in His promises, and my faith should be what? Expressed and spoken, and what is that? It's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting to be blessed. I'm expecting that my bank accounts are full. And when am I doing that? I'm doing that when they're not full. When am I saying that I'm expecting that God's word is working in me and healing my body when I'm not healed? And so this is where we've been sharing over the last lessons. Does that mean that I shouldn't go to the doctor? No, that's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that what are you going to do if you go to the doctor and you put your trust and faith in the doctor, and the doctor then says, I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. So faith is what? Having faith in God. Medicine can't heal you, but also medicine cannot keep you from being healed either. So take the medicine if you need to take it, but keep professing what you believe. I believe, according to Galatians 3:13, that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, or me. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then what else does it say in 1 Peter 2:24? Who was own self, bore what? My sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Well, when am I saying that? I'm continually professing that, and I'm sowing what? When I speak, I'm doing what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, and so the saying part is the sowing part. The saying part, I'm sowing that down into my heart, and then what? It begins to grow. It begins to produce, and God watches over his word, and it'll not return void. So as we continue to speak it, profess it, that's the watering, and that continues to cause my faith to come. And so we need to keep that in mind, that we need to keep speaking the word. This is also in the Berkeley translation of Hebrews 11:1. And this just is just another translation, another way of expressing Hebrews 11:1. It says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for or what is expected. Faith forms the solid ground for something expected. What does that mean? Faith in God means what? Believing that based on what God said, it shall come to pass. In other words, it's forever settled in heaven. That's my solid ground. I know what his will is. I know what God's will is, and it's forever settled. It can't change. That forms the solid ground for something I can expect him to do for me based on what? My covenant rights, which are what? Sealed in the blood of Jesus. Glory to God, and it's settled. And now this is God's word translation of Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Wow. Faith actually allows us or causes us to see what we can't see. Faith causes us to have an assurance for something I can't see. Even when I don't see it, I can see it. I know I have it. And this was back to what I was sharing about that example of that story of that woman back in the 30s when Lillian B. Yeomans was ministering to them, just kept reading the word, just kept reading scripture, and then said, here, say this. And she had her confessing, Galatians 3:13, 1 Peter 2:24, and then Deuteronomy 28. And she kept saying it, and what happened? It dawned on her, and it convinced her of the existence of something she didn't see yet. She then became what? Convinced that she was healed. And when she started, she said, I don't understand this. I don't get this. But then faith came and it convinced her that she was healed. Glory to God. Now let's take a look at something. 1 Peter in the New Living Translation, 1 Peter 1:21. And this blessed me. It says, through Christ, you have come to trust in God. How do we come to trust in God? Through Christ, in him. We've come to trust in God. And you have placed your faith and hope in God. Why? Because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. And what I wanted to point this out was that it says you have placed your faith and hope. This word hope is the same word hope, expectation, that's used in Hebrews chapter 11, 1. So you could say we have come to place our faith and our expectation in God. Why? Because he raised Christ from the dead and raised him to great glory. Hallelujah. But I wanted to take a look and just look at Mark 11, 23, or 22, starting in 22, and we'll look at 23, and go back to Mark 11, 22 and 23. And God's word, if he said it, then it's an established truth. You know, Jesus, this is Jesus speaking in Mark 11, 22 and 23. And he said, I only say those things that I hear my Father tell me to say and do those things that he shows me to do. But let's look at this in the King James. It says, and he told his disciples, have faith in God. And verse 23, it continues, for verily, or you could say this verily means truly, I say unto you that whosoever shall say, what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And as Brother Hagin said, the revelation that God gave him, he said, if you look at that scripture, the word say or saith or say in some form is there three times, and the word believe is there once. And he said to him, you're going to have to teach on the saying part of faith three times more than the believing part. He said, because the church, the body of Christ, has been taught to believe. But he said, where they're missing it is in their saying part. And so here we see even in people we're around, you know, if you want to know what they believe, hang around people long enough and they'll tell you what they believe. They'll tell you what they expect. And a lot of times when Brother Hagin would minister, or even in any setting, not just him, but others, people sometimes wait for someone in a church setting, a word of knowledge that God is pointing out some ailment or sickness or issue. He said, when he would teach the word of God, people would come, what? Expecting to receive. And if they didn't call it out, they just said, lay your hands on me and I believe I'll receive. Pray with me and I believe that I'll receive because I've come expecting. And I'm here, I want you to get into agreement with me and I believe that I receive. So, you know, this is really faith in action. In other words, it's not being separated. This is what the Johnson paraphrase or the Johnson translation or paraphrase translation says here in Mark 11, 23. It says, truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake and does not become separated from what? The statements he makes, that person will actualize his statement. when anyone's expression in prayer is congruent with his what? That means it's in alignment or congruent with his inner being, his desire will be actualized. So when you find yourself saying, I believe this, but then you become separated and you start to say something else, that's when we have a problem, that we may believe one thing and we're saying something else. Faith needs to what? 2 Corinthians 4:13, we believe and what? We therefore speak. Speak what? Speak what we believe. I believe I'm healed. Then I need to say that I'm healed. I need to speak it that my body functions normally. When do I say that? When it's not. I refuse to say that I'm tired. I won't say that. Now, does that mean I'm ignoring that my body needs rest? No, I just say, you know what, I need to lay down and get some rest. But I don't confess I'm tired. Because when you keep confessing that, you keep planting seeds of that in your spirit, and your heart, the soil, will try to produce that in your what? In your life. And you'll be tired. And so we need to speak more things of what the Word of God promises. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and that this body functions normally. It's the same thing where my finances are concerned. You begin to work the Word of God. What does that mean? You speak words that promise you abundance and not lack. When do you say that? When you have lack, when you don't have abundance, you keep professing, and it takes time to produce, because some of these things involve things that are outside your control. If you keep professing it, that you have abundance, God will lead you in your thinking to make choices and lead you in life to make some decisions that will what? Bring to pass that which you're speaking. If you keep confessing that you're lacking and you can't make it, then you're going to keep planting that seed down in your spirit, in your heart, which is what? The soil. And your words spoken are like containers, they're seeds. And those seeds are spiritual, and they get planted where? In your spirit. And your spirit will work night and day to produce that, and you'll eat the fruit of it, which is what we read from the scriptures. But here's a scripture that I think we need to think about when it comes to speaking the desired promise. It's Philippians 4:6 in the King James Version. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6, it says what? Be careful for nothing. Some translations say be anxious for nothing. And it says be anxious for nothing, but what? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And before I go on to verse 8, if you don't have the peace of God, if you're troubled about something, then you need to stop and think, have I done the first part, which is Be anxious. Am I anxious for something? Am I letting something weigh upon me? Am I letting something give me something, as they say, agita, or being anxious or concerned or troubled or worried? If I'm worrying about something, maybe I haven't brought this request to God and say, God, you see this, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to give you thanks because you said for me to do what? by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto you. And when I do that, what does that mean? I've turned it over to God. I have faith in God that he's going to do what? Change this. And then we begin to do what? Speak that now I've turned it over to God. He's working it out, and he is giving me the wisdom and the understanding on how to do it and how to overcome it and walk through it. And the peace of God will keep my heart and mind. And then what does it go on to say? Through Christ, in verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. What's true? God's word is true. What things soever are honest? Whatsoever things are just? Whatsoever things are pure? Whatsoever things are lovely? Whatsoever things are of good report? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on what? These things. Not the problem, not the problems that we're thinking, because as a man thinketh, so is he. And so if you keep thinking on something, you begin to do what? You begin to talk about it. You begin to plant those seeds down in your heart, and then you begin to just profess it, and you keep watering it, and you'll have it. You'll never see a solution to the problem. Everything you see, you'll see problem, not what is not seen. This is, you'll have faith in the problem, but not faith in God. He said, have faith in God, not have faith in the problem. So this is where, you know, it may sound simplistic, but God's word is the power of God that will do what? Show us how to overcome, how to walk through it. This is exactly what the woman with the issue of blood and even the centurion did. Let's look at the centurion in the New Living Translation in Matthew chapter 8. Starting in verse 5, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Well, for him to come plead with Jesus or to request something, he must have had faith that he could do it, and he must have heard something about him. And then it goes on, verse 6, Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain. And Jesus said, in verse 7, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, the Roman officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. Wow. I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believed, it has happened. In other words, he could say, be it unto you according to your faith. And the young servant was healed from that same hour. So this is a choice. God is not going to speak to the mountain. Jesus said, have faith in God. And then he proceeded to say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, God's not going to speak to the mountain for you. You are going to have to speak to the mountain and do what? Command it to be removed and cast into the sea. And then it says, and what? And those things that you say, you have to believe and doubt not, and believe the things that you say shall come to pass. And it goes on to say, you'll have it. So we need to embrace the truth of God's word. It didn't say sometimes going through life, there aren't going to be challenges. There aren't going to be obstacles. You're never going to have uncontested faith. Your faith will be challenged. And I'm not going to say every time, but your faith is going to be challenged. And you need to make a decision that God's word is true. And when obstacles come up and challenges come up in life, sometimes they're very uncomfortable. And sometimes your mind is going to say, I just don't understand this. I don't believe this. Or if we find ourselves siding in with world's opinions, we need to make sure we look at that and say, okay, is this in God's word? Because if it's not, then we need to then determine that I'm standing with God's truth, his word, because what? It will come to pass in my life. It'll produce. And so God's word has the answer for everything that we're going through. And God has made us his body to do what? Enforce, or to do what? For him to work through us to do what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all men. You know, so often we look at the world and sometimes the craziness of things that are going on and the extremes that are being pressed and pushed at this point. And we need to just make a determination that as extreme as they may be, that we need to make sure that we know that God loves people. He died for them. If he didn't, then why did he go to the cross? He went to the cross to redeem mankind. And it says also to break the power or to overcome the power of the devil. And so he did all of that, not for him, but for us, his body. And so we need to make a determination that as we walk through life, that I have the heart of God to love people, but not be apprehensive or not be, don't be afraid to speak up and speak the truth with people. It may, they may call you all kinds of funny names, but you need to make a determination that God's word is truth. Some of the things that we see going on in society today is to do what? Is to change truth. And the truth is God's word. And so when we see things happening in society, it's really not a challenge against what we stand for. It's a challenge against God. They want to change and strip out anything that has to do with God and his truth of his word. So we need to just make sure that we keep our hearts full of love, because in Matthew 24, I'll just read that because we need to be reminded as we close. In Matthew 24, it talks about, the end times and so forth and those things that'll come upon the earth. But in verse 12 is always significant to me, because it talks about kingdom will rise up against kingdom, and it says and nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and so forth. But verse 12, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, didn't say all But it says, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, if that isn't an evidence of what's happening today, we need to make sure that the love that we have for people doesn't wax cold just because of things they're spouting and things they're wanting us to believe or us side with. We love people because God loves them. And let not our love for people wax cold, but also don't let the truth of God's word wax cold either. So we want to just make sure that we love people, walk in faith, and continue to please God, which is Hebrews 11:6, for it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto him must what? Believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God. So I don't know how long we're going to go more on this subject, but I believe that we need to do what? Keep feeding on the word of God. Faith will come. And when faith comes, we need to do what? Speak what we believe. Speak what we expect. And those things that we expect are things that are not seen. You don't need to speak or have faith for something expected that you already have. You already know you have it. But you need to expect things that are unseen. So speak what you expect. And the things expected are things not seen. Praise God. God bless you. And as we close, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share your word, and the continual feeding upon it will cause us to see more clearly. And we thank you, Father, that we're walking in wisdom and revelation and understanding of the word of God. And we thank you that we are knowing what is the hope of your calling, and we are knowing what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. So, Father, we thank you for it. We pray for the body of Christ, that there would be a continuing understanding of who they are in Christ, and that they are seated in heavenly places far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. You know, one of the things I was sharing today is that it hurts my heart. When I say hurt, I said it troubles my heart that when I see people in the body of Christ who love Jesus talk about their struggles, and I said they're not understanding who they are in Christ. They're telling you, here's a mountain, here's a mountain, here's a mountain, here's the struggle. And I said, we need to keep praying for the body of Christ that they walk in a greater measure of wisdom and understanding as to who they are, and that they are seated above the problem, and they've been given authority and dominion in this earth in Jesus' name, to carry that name, to carry that authority, and command these mountains to move in Jesus' name. And the devil's been dethroned, so to speak, for us. He doesn't have authority over us. And so we can, as Christ's body, go back and take territories that he has ruled and reigned over, and where you see darkness just being pervasive. You know, when people are saying, well, I just don't know what we're going to do, you know, crime is just running rampant, then what we need to do is what? If you see crime running rampant and you see injustice in an area, you've been given dominion and authority. You have authority over those wicked spirits that are pushing it through people. And we go back and do what? Take authority over it and command that to come down in Jesus' name. And this is where we begin to speak not the problems in our country and our areas that we live, but we begin to decree what is not seen. We begin to say, I believe that New York State is a state where righteousness is exalted. Well, may not be, but I decree it in Jesus' name. This is what we're talking about. Glory to God. Well, let's, as we close, if you're here watching and you've never made a profession of salvation or confession of your faith in Christ, then this is your opportunity to do that. Maybe you have, and maybe you just got away from God. Maybe you're not living for Him or serving for Him. Maybe you're living in sin. But, you know, anything that's not walking in faith in God is sin. Because He said, that which is not of faith is sin. So, you know, a lot of times we compartmentalize things. But let's, you know, in the scripture, Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if we do what? Confess the Lord Jesus. We confess what? With your mouth, the Lord Jesus. And you do what? You believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. It says you'll be saved. So let's make this simple profession of faith. Father God, I believe. I'm coming to you in belief and with my heart and my mouth, and I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is the Redeemer of mankind. And I believe He is my Redeemer. And I ask Him to come into my heart. I believe that You raised Him from the dead. And I now believe that according to Your word, that I am saved. I believe that You have cleansed me of unrighteousness with Your blood. And I now believe that I am seated with You in heavenly places in Christ. I ask You to work in my life, make something new of me, and lead me and guide me, and I will serve You the rest of my days in Jesus' name. Now, if you made that simple confession of faith, let us know, contact us, or get in touch with us. You can get in touch with us either by email, or you can call the ministry number, which is on the phone, 845, on the screen, 845-623-9300. Or if you want to, you can send us a letter at that address. Glory to God. And we rejoice. If there are those watching, we rejoice with you that you are now saved and brand new.